from Tucson, Arizona, Dr. Jerry Bangert, and he is going to, you can see his bio in the little program, but we really appreciate Jerry coming in again to share a teaching with us and a layman's overview of the Bible, part one.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys. It's an ambitious task, I suppose, to presume that in two sessions you can go through the whole of the Bible, but fools rush in where wise men fear to tread. So we'll give it a whirl. As we're doing it, we'll spend what might seem to you to be an inordinate amount of time in the book of Genesis. And the reason for doing that is that it's such a foundational book that it's very difficult to understand the Bible as a whole without understanding Genesis. So don't get discouraged if we're not through Genesis by the end of this first session. Lord willing, we will eventually make it all the way to Revelation. And so with those introductory words, let me pray for us and we'll get after it. Lord, I want to thank you that you've brought these men here. Lord, they've come to hear you. And I pray that you would honor that desire. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them, that you would anoint all of us, and that your Holy Spirit would lead us to truth, not to accrue to our knowledge, but that we might grow into the likeness of Christ. And we ask these things, Lord, in his name, amen. As you know, the book of Genesis begins with the words, "In the beginning, God." Let me suggest to you that those are the most important words of any book that was ever written. Because it signals that we are not alone. The world's a hard place. The universe is big and cold. But we're not alone. Gentlemen, let me suggest to you that without the presence of God, hope dies. Not only so, there are two other things that become impossible. The first of those things is purpose. You cannot have purpose without God. Now you say, well, lots of people do. That's true. But when they die, all those purposes and all their hopes die with them. And not more than that, without God, your purpose is inevitably going to be tied to your desires. And gentlemen, our desires are cruel masters. They drive us to do things that we would not otherwise do. And so you become slave to yourself. The second thing that becomes impossible is justice. The world's unfair. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. And gentlemen, if there is if there is no God, and if there is no afterlife to rebalance the scales, then justice becomes impossible. Now, the world that I'm painting, the one without God, is the world that Macbeth spoke about when he said the following. He was describing life. Macbeth says the following: "It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." That's a bad world. And I want to examine those words for just a moment, because Macbeth got some things right and he got other things wrong. Life is a tale. It's a story. It's a story with a very discrete beginning and a very discrete end, although in the Bible it ends with eternity. Your life is a story written by God, and you participate with him in that story. And your story matters. Everybody's story matters. But that story, that tale, excuse me, is not told by an idiot. It's told by God himself. Hebrews 4:3, speaking of God, says his works were finished from the foundations of the world. Everything is his story. And everything matters. And it is full of sound and fury, as Macbeth says. That's the chaos of life, right? That's the pain and suffering of life that Bryce spoke about last night. We're living in what appears to be a chaotic, out-of-control world right now. It's not. Chaos is God's most important instructor. And I'd suggest to you, gentlemen, that absent that chaos, absent that suffering and pain, we all go to hell. It's pain, suffering, chaos that wakes us from our dogmatic slumbers. And finally, Macbeth says, all this signifies nothing. And that he is not right about. Because everything that happens is pointing to Jesus Christ. And again, history and your life are on a conveyor belt, moving from a very discrete beginning to a very discrete end. And all that God does, including the stuff you don't like, is for his glory. Gentlemen, the risk we run is in those things that we don't like. And my word to you men is, on the other side of eternity, nobody is going to regret the things that God did to them that they didn't like. The risk is how I responded to those things. I might regret how I responded. Now, I've been talking about Macbeth, but I just for the record, Solomon in Ecclesiastes agrees with Macbeth. For Solomon says the same thing. He says life isn't fair, there's no justice, and it's meaningless. And Solomon is looking at life straight on. And gentlemen, I think you can make a decent case that Ecclesiastes is perhaps the book for our generation. If you understand and believe Ecclesiastes, that without God, There is no justice. Without God, there is no purpose or meaning. Then you are ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Meaning and purpose has to come from outside the system. And it is God who provides that meaning and purpose. And again, absent that, it's your desire that will drive your purpose. Not only so, only an omnipotent God who stands outside the system can render